This episode of the Columbia Basin Herald's Studio Basin Podcast is brought to you by the Moses Lake Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber works to help businesses in and around Moses Lake flourish through networking opportunities, member-to-member savings for products and services, and connecting businesses with the resources they need to make Moses Lake a wonderful place to live, work, and play. For more information, visit moseslake.com or call the Chamber at 509-765-7888. Again, that's 509-765-7888.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ian Bavona. I'm the sports reporter here for the Columbia Basin Herald. Welcome back to the Studio Basin Podcast. I'm joined by, I think I'm going to officially appoint you the co-host of the podcast.
I've been promoted.
I'm joined by senior reporter Cheryl Schweitzer here in our podcast studio today. Cheryl, how are you doing today?
I'm good.
Good. It's Friday.
I am not, however, as Ian is, Hawaii bound.
Yes, I'm going on a vacation. I've planned it along where most of our local sports teams are going to be on spring break, so won't be missing too much. So.
Well, you'll be having fun in the sun.
Come yes, on. I will. I'm very excited. Awesome. Well, to start out today's podcast, with vacation plans aside, we do have some things to talk about.
We do. Some of them are serious.
Yes. We have a developing story out at the Soap Lake School District.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk to us a little bit about that,
yes.
Cheryl?
The Soap Lake School Board met last Monday, and essentially asked their superintendent to resign, Aaron Chavez. They had hired him last July. He is the fourth superintendent in about 2 years. Mm-hmm. Sunshine Prey resigned in March 2022. She was replaced temporarily by the school board chair, then by a lady who resigned to take the job in Prosser, and then by Mr. Chavez, who has, they've requested his resignation. When I asked about why, he said that they told him that they just weren't a good fit, he and the board. Mm-hmm. I asked board members for comment or information about some of what they were doing, and I didn't get any responses. At that same meeting, they also declared a financial emergency. And typically what that means is that they're looking to cut expenses, which may mean, does not always mean, but could mean laying people off. And that's why I say this is still a developing story. There's still stuff going on. They could be laying people off. They might not. We just don't know yet. Mm-hmm. And there could be other things going on as well. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out for the Columbia Basin Herald. We'll be working on this as we go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm sure we'll be talking about it on
another future podcast episode. We very well might be.
Yes, when we have some more information on
yes.
that. But we wanted to make sure that everyone was informed about what's
yes.
going on.
What
there
we know, what we know, what we can confirm so far.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of other rumors that we won't get into here,
mm-hmm.
but what we can confirm so far.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then some other news. We've got a couple of traffic projects going on.
Yes,
here.
We do.
Seems like the last couple of weeks
yes,
we've been talking
that's
a lot about roads.
That's a recurring theme in the spring because mm-hmm. they're starting to do all this work, and all summer long, one reason that we talk about this, and we talk about it quite a bit, but one reason we do, is that that's going to affect travel for everyone
mm-hmm.
pretty much for the whole year. And when you go places, you might want to think about your route before you go, particularly in the case of the Vantage Bridge, which I'll get to in a minute, but the first one is starting next week. The Department of Transportation will be replacing the resurfacing, the SR-17, which is a section of Pioneer Way and then splits off from Pioneer Way and goes to Patton Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to Patton Boulevard, not through downtown, but by downtown. And they're going to be resurfacing that starting next Wednesday. So you can expect delays. They're working at night to minimize delays. But when they are working, which is about 8 o'clock at night to 6 in the morning, you can't expect delays through the traffic
mm-hmm.
or through the work zone. They're starting, I think, with replacing Americans with Disabilities Act sidewalk ramps
mm-hmm.
to make them compliant with ADA. But then they'll be closing one lane at a time while they pave through that stretch. So just be aware going through town, if you habitually take that route, it may take you a little longer if you're driving through in the evening and at night.
Definitely. Was there like an estimated completion date of that project?
There was, as a matter of fact. They're looking at July.
Okay.
70 working days, and a working day is like 5 days a week.
Yeah.
So they figure it'll be in July. The other major project is, as we reported before, the Vantage Bridge, which is a big deal in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people, not just from Grant and Adams counties, are going back and forth to Ellensburg, Yakima, Seattle, across the Vantage Bridge. This summer, that might not be the best idea on a busy weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The bridge will be open. What they're going to do, first of all, what they're going to do is close. They're going to put it down to one lane in each direction and drop the speed limit to 40 miles an hour. So on a day when there's a lot of cars, such as there typically is on Friday afternoon and on Sunday, traffic is going to be slow through there.
Mm-hmm.
And they estimate that waits could take, that particular section of the trip could take an hour to 90 minutes, maybe even longer, depending on the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind that that's going to be the situation on the bridge during weekends, concert weekends at the Gorge Amphitheater,
mm-hmm.
sorry. So like Watershed Weekend, take that into account. If you're going to that concert, be a lot of traffic and it's going to be slow through there.
Mm-hmm.
So DOT is recommending that you look for alternative routes. A couple that they recommend is to, particularly if you're coming westbound, to get off the freeway at Ellensburg, go over Blewett Pass to Wenatchee, then down to Quincy,
mm-hmm.
and pick it back up at right there at Quincy, right at George.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way. If you're going, did I say westbound? I think I meant east. If you're going eastbound, they suggest that one.
Mm-hmm.
Or westbound, but eastbound, that one works. Another one they're suggesting either way, but especially westbound, is get off I-90 at Ritzville, take 395 down through Tri-Cities, and then up through Yakima, and then rejoin I-90 at Ellensburg.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's longer.
Yeah.
But depending on the day, it may not take any more time than it takes to get through there at the Vantage Bridge.
Yeah, especially those holiday weekends.
Yes.
And when there's big concerts.
Holiday weekends, they're going to be, all four lanes are going to be open.
Okay.
The entire week of the 4th of July, Memorial Day weekend, Labor Day weekend, the road will be open, but not other holiday, not other summer weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like I said, that's, they're not going to change the traffic pattern for concert weekends.
Yeah.
And that's when there's a lot of traffic through there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some, like maybe little shorter routes if you know the road. I wouldn't recommend those if you're not used to country roads, because you can end up circling around out by Othello or Warden or somewhere.
Yeah.
for days. Maybe not days, but it's easy to get lost there.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Those are some of the things that they're suggesting. And well, again, this is going to be probably a little bit of a developing story. We'll probably have more on it as we go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Awesome. And then we had some officers of the law around around really the entire area be recognized.
Doing some heroic stuff.
Yes.
One that we haven't covered yet in the paper, but we will. Officer Stephen Harder of the Quincy Police Department received a Carnegie Medal for heroism for rescuing a lady from fire. And I did do a story on that when it occurred. The house was on fire. The lady couldn't get out. He and another officer crawled into the house while it was on fire.
Wow.
Flames shooting out the front, front room windows. They went through the back, and he managed to pull the lady to safety.
Wow.
And she survived when she might otherwise not have.
Mm-hmm.
And then Moses Lake police officers, some of them are more than, you know, some of them are sergeants and stuff, but Edgar Salazar, Kyle McCain, and I may be getting some of these names wrong, for which I apologize, Omar Ramirez and Kurt Liedebar, all from the Moses Lake Police Department, and Casey Judkins from the Grant County Sheriff's Office, all received a Washington State Medal of Honor for their response to a shooting at the Gorge
mm-hmm.
campground last summer. The assailant was under the influence of intoxicants. The officers managed to, he did kill two women, but he had taken another woman and was trying to go somewhere. They tracked him down and found him mm-hmm. and subdued him.
Wow.
And there was no further loss of life, in part because of the work that these five guys did.
Mm.
And they received the Washington State Medal of Honor for that, which was well deserved.
Absolutely. That was
well deserved in all those cases.
Yeah, he took the words right out of my mouth. I was about to note that. Just amazing work by them. And
yes.
Thank you for keeping our community safer.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome.
And that's that.
All righty. Do you want to get into sports?
Yes, let's do that.
All righty.
The next segment of the Studio Basin podcast is brought to you by Sue's Gift Boutique at 212 West 3rd Avenue in Moses Lake. Stop by Sue's to explore a variety of items, including ladies' apparel, candles, hobo purses, items for infants, Ilse Jacobson shoes, and jewelry. Stop in and support a Columbia Basin business with local roots.
All righty. Now jumping.
So, I was going to say, so, Ian, what's happened in sports this week?
Well, we had a couple of cool couple of games going on, and
okay.
We had one cool thing. I don't think last week we talked about how the Moses Lake baseball team got to go over to practice and see.
No, we didn't.
So let's talk about that
on the field.
Yes. So T-Mobile Park, where the Seattle
uh-huh.
Mariners play, they were looking for the park to be resurfaced after some off-season events like the Winter Classic being
right.
held there. When you have a big ice hockey rink on the field, it doesn't exactly
does not like that.
Yes,
it
doesn't do well for the grass.
Okay.
So they hired Northwest Turf Solutions, which is a Moses Lake-based company, to resurface the field.
Wow.
That was done early in February. It took about a week to complete the project.
Mm-hmm.
And after the project was done, Northwest Turf Solutions president Nathan Cox was talking to some of the grounds crew at the ballpark, and they were mentioning how it'd be really nice if we could have a team come over here to practice on the field, you know, make sure everything's all good before the Mariners come back after spring training. And Nathan Cox was like, you know, I might know
yeah,
a team.
He just happened to know.
Yeah. He threw out the Moses Lake High School baseball team. I think he did it before he talked to head coach Donnie Lindgren. After that, he called Lindgren and said, hey, like, I might have thrown your name out there to head over to Seattle to go practice at T-Mobile Park. And Lindgren was like, you can do that all the time if it leads to something like that. So they went over, I think it was 2 weeks ago. It was the day after they beat Chihuahua. I don't remember
right.
the exact date, but that's when Donnie told me about it. Had a good practice session, you know, practiced some infield, some outfield work on the professional grade ballpark, so that was a pretty cool.
Did they
moment.
Have the organ playing? Da, 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 da.
I don't think so, but that would be pretty cool.
Playing in that stadium would be a big deal.
Oh, absolutely.
Just even practicing in it.
Yeah, they said when they got there, the first like 15 to 20 minutes was just spent taking pictures and FaceTiming everybody, being like, look where I am, I'm out here.
Selfies.
Yeah. And then after practicing infield and outfield work, they hit for about 2 hours. I would have wanted to go for like 4 hours, but I'm sure that wasn't within the time constraints there. There were two batters who hit home runs. There was Dax Lindgren, who is Donnie's son,
okay.
the head coach of the team, and he was a member of Moses Lake's 2019 state championship
mm-hmm.
baseball team. And then there's current Maverick Hayden Meek, who is a junior. They both hit home runs while they were batting at T-Mobile
Park.
So they
can tell their children
yeah.
that they hit a home run at the Mariners Stadium.
Yeah.
That's all they have to say.
I was talking with Meek about it.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying how it was like his first two at-bats, I think one was a pop-up, and then one didn't go up very
uh-huh.
far at all. And then his third one, he had some of his teammates kind of, you know, be like, you can't hit anything here, you know, whatever. And then that next at-bat, he goes yard. So that was, I imagine that was a cool moment for him. He said he's a Mariners fan,
uh-huh.
grew up a Mariners fan, so that's cool. And like many players on that team, I'm sure they're all Mariners fans, and pretty cool moment for them
yeah.
being able to go over to Seattle and practice
well,
on that
any,
field.
Well, any stadium that's a it's a major league stadium, but
mm-hmm.
especially one that's a team that they follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. For me, it'd be the Mets, but you know, Seattle's pretty cool too.
Yes.
Awesome. So then moving into some games. Last Saturday, I was at Royals boys soccer game against College Place.
And got one of the best soccer pictures I've ever taken. I have ever taken. I have ever seen taken.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a pretty...
It's in our Tuesday... Tuesday or
yes,
Monday?
That's in our Tuesday paper.
Tuesday paper.
And it's also,
online.
Yeah, it's the lead photo online. Yeah.
Take a chance and look that picture up because that is a great soccer picture.
Thank you. I forget the name of the player in the photo. I think it was Victor Aquino, but I can't remember exactly. Anyway, speaking of good shots, Royal opened the game really strong on the attack, had a ton of shots on the net in the first half. Some of them weren't converting into goals, but I mean, I was joking with the players I was talking to about the game. I was like, I like to keep track of how many shots
uh-huh.
teams take, and I lost track within the first 10 minutes.
Wow,
so
okay.
It was a pretty good start for them. Royal jumped out to a 2-0 lead before College Place got a goal against the run of play. But then the Knights were able to take a 3-1 lead into the half, which they rode off for a 5-1 win over the Eagles. Senior Freddie Cabrera scored 2 goals in the win.
Wow.
If I remember correctly, I believe that win pushed the Knights to a 5-1 start to the year and 4-0 in league play.
Okay.
You know
more about soccer than I do. That's a fairly decisive win, 5-1.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Before that game, I think they also had a 9-0 win over somebody. I think it might have been Kyona Benton. I just can't remember exactly. But that game took place before a Tuesday game against Waluk, which the
mm-hmm.
Warriors actually won a 2-1.
Cool.
Waluk's off to an 8-1 start to the season, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
so
that's going
to
be a tight race for the Central Athletic Conference.
South Central Athletic Conference. And then
soccer
on the
title.
On the west side of the league, I think Toppenish is off to like a 7-0 or 7-1
start. Got some good teams in the
basin. Yeah, it's going to be a closely contested district tournament once we get around
yes.
to that time of year. But then,
plenty of soccer between now and then if you want to go see them.
Yeah. And then moving into some more baseball and a little bit of softball. I was at ACH. I was up in Heartline. For ACH baseball and softball on Tuesday. They play everywhere. I get so confused
yes,
trying to keep
I
up where everyone plays. Both teams won pretty convincingly in sweeps over Wellpinit on Tuesday. The ACH baseball team improved to 6-0, defeating Wellpinit 17-1 and 16-1. ACH has scored over 20 runs, is averaging about over 20 runs per game so far in their 6 games this year. Leading the Warriors.
And we should remind people, we're not talking about football.
Yeah, no.
We're talking about baseball.
Baseball.
20 runs is a lot of runs.
Yeah, they haven't been playing the toughest competition, but I mean, if you're averaging 20 runs per game in 6
you're hitting
games,
pretty well.
That's not too bad. They had one, I forget who it was against, they had a game that ended, I think it was 32-1.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
They're hitting pretty well.
Yeah. Once again, not against the strongest competition, but I mean, it's a good start for the year for them. They have, leading the team so far is Grayson Beal and Caden Correa, tied for the lead with 12 hits through their first 6 games. And then on Thursday, they actually defeated a 1A team. They played OMAC and won 6-0 at home on Thursday. So that pushed them to 7-0 this year. So not
good
a bad
for
start
ACH,
for ACH.
Yeah,
they have a lot of...
impressive start.
Yeah, last year was a lot of younger guys stepping into bigger roles, and
mm-hmm.
this year those guys have an extra year of experience under their belt, ready to get back to that state tournament. I was talking with their head coach, Hunter Lee, after the game. He was saying how this team has playoff aspirations, you know, state title aspirations. playing tough teams like OMAC
uh-huh.
is something they want to do to get better and get ready for those postseason kind of games. And then I was also there for the softball games as well.
Softball has just as impressive a start.
Yes, they are 5-0. They've played 2 less games than the baseball team has. They also swept Wellpinit. They won 16-0 and 19-2. They actually used a primarily JV roster for the second game, so that was a cool moment for those girls to get out there and earn a big win after going through the you know, early season practices and all that good stuff. So far, they have to start the year, senior Beth Okamoto and freshman Grace Okamoto, they're two sisters. They have combined for 35 strikeouts through the Warriors'
Man.
First five games. So they've started pretty well in the circle, and excited to see where both those teams can take it after a strong
yeah.
start to the year.
Wow. And that's all for you, right?
I believe so, yes.
Right. I was just going to add congratulations to the Royal Dance Team
mm-hmm.
and the Moses Lake Mola Hi-Hats Dance Team, both of whom brought home state titles.
Mm-hmm.
And the Othello Huskies dance team finished, I believe, second.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations to them
yes.
for coming home with big-time state hardware.
Absolutely. And I think we've had some coverage
we
of
did,
it so far.
Right.
We'll have
we
some
did,
more in the future.
We did a story on the Royal Knights on Wednesday, and then the one on the Mola Hi-Hats is coming out on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think out of all the teams that we cover, all the sports that we do and activities that we do, probably the teams that face the biggest test year to year are the Mola Hi-Hats and the Royal Knights football team, because they have such a tradition of excellence in both programs
mm-hmm.
that they have very high expectations, and it is a testament to the teams, the coaches, the players, and the dancers in both cases
mm-hmm.
that year after year they meet those expectations.
Absolutely. And congratulations to
yes.
To all those dancers being able to
yeah.
hoist a state championship trophy. That's
they do.
That's pretty impressive. So
you
big
look at that Mola Hi-Hats trophy case at school, it's stuff.
Yeah. A big round of congratulations
yes.
over to those dancers.
All right.
Awesome. I think that's gonna do it for our
that's
sports segment
for
and for our episode this week.
All
thank
right.
you all for tuning in.
All right, thank you. The Studio Basin Podcast is produced by the Columbia Basin Herald, a local newspaper serving Grant and Adams counties in Washington State. Our publisher is Clint Schroeder, and our regional general manager is Bob Richardson. Our managing editor is Rob Miller, and our reporting staff consists of me, senior reporter Cheryl Schweitzer, staff writer and paginator Joel Martin, sports reporter Ian Bavona, and staff writer Gabriel Davis. The Columbia Basin Herald is published 5 days a week in print and online. The paper's website is www.columbiabasinherald.com. To provide information on the paper or the podcast, please email us at editor@columbiabasinherald.com. And I'm not sure we're going to be on next week because Ian's going to be soaking up the sun on a beach in the islands. So I'm not sure, but if there will be someone else in his stead
mm-hmm.
if we do, and if we don't, so we'll either see you next week or the week after.
Mm, absolutely.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, y'all.